On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Whether you're listening live here on KKNW AM 1150 radio in the Seattle area or on Transformation Talk Radio anywhere around the world, or if you're listening after the fact on one of the 90 stations this show gets distributed into, or on ChristineUpchurch.com in the archives, you're going to be so grateful you joined us here today. I love our guest. This is her third time on the show, and we keep inviting her back because she is a wealth of information. But before I get into that, I want to say hello to Mr. Benny Mathers, who allows you to hear this wonderful conversation.
Hi,
hello, Benny.
Yeah, I'm here. Hello. I was just saying, when are you going to toss it back to me?
Oh, it's yours. It's in your lap.
Yep, and I appreciate that. We miss you deeply. You're not in the studio today, but that's all right. Your spirit is.
Yes, and I'm glad to be on Orcas Island right now. It's a very sacred place. And I miss you as well.
Aw, well, since we are discussing the wonderful island that you're on, could you paint me a Bob Ross-styled picture for us of the happy little setting you have up there? I think that's perfectly mentioned, right?
The painting it, probably not, but I can give you the heartfelt energy of the pretty little picture out my window.
I'll take the word for it.
I'm so grateful that we've got Denise Lynn here today. She is an internationally renowned teacher in the field of self-development. She's the author of, oh my goodness, I think it's 18 books in 29 languages. She's the author of the bestseller Sacred Space, the award-winning book Feng Shui for the Soul, and her latest book is a wonderful book. I'm so grateful she's written it because it's going to be helping so many people, and it's called Energy Strands: Clearing the Cords That Are Constricting Your Life. Denise has appeared on numerous documentaries and television shows worldwide. She gives seminars all around the world. And I have to tell you, the couple of times I've been in her seminars or breakout sessions, I have had profound experiences. Her personal journey began as a result of a near-death experience at the age of 17 after experiencing some horrific violence. And she set out on a spiritual quest, and she has explored the healing traditions of many cultures, including her own Cherokee ancestors, the Aborigines, as well as the Zulus. She's also trained with Hawaiian kahuna, Reiki master, and she was adopted into the New Zealand Maori tribe. Wow, that's quite an honor. And she has also lived in a Zen Buddhist monastery, so she has garnered the wisdom of many, many tribes, both literal and figuratively, and I'm so grateful she's here today. It's Denise Lynn. Hi, Denise.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I am so happy to be back.
Oh, you know, I've always loved your work, and I have to tell you that, you know, I interview lots of different people, and I get opportunities to go to lots of different seminars and workshops, and I have, you know, great experiences, and I learn a lot. But the few times I've been in your breakout sessions or workshops, I have had incredibly profound experiences. And I think that from my sort of energetically sensitive perspective, it has to do with the way you set the energetic tone. It's like you've got this innate, skillful understanding of energy and how to manipulate it to help people to shift. How did you come about to this understanding of energy and energy strands in particular?
Well, you know, if my life could have easily taken a different direction, in which case I would have been a scientist. Both my parents were scientists, even though my mother is in the Cherokee tribe. And I was raised an atheist. They said, if you can't prove it scientifically, it doesn't exist. So
right.
I wanted to be a scientist. But, you know, I think most people can go back through their life and see those kind of turning points where they went one way rather than the other, and it made all the difference. So, but when I was 17, I had, you mentioned I had a near-death experience. I had a really dramatic near-death experience.
And
I mean, the doctor said, she's dead. But when I came back from that, I saw the world differently. I began to see light around people and objects and plants and hear sounds and tones that other people didn't hear. People said, oh, it was the drugs they gave you when you were in the hospital. Like, but it lasted. And it really, that particular incident is what kind of shifted my perception of the world around us.
So, you know, I know that with shamanism and tribal healing and perspectives, they've often kept them to be very private to that particular tribe. And yet you have managed to go be a part of several different tribes. How did that come about?
You know, in every case, it was, I guess, what you call serendipity. I was teaching in New Zealand, and a Maori woman was came up to me after the event. She goes, Denise, so many of the things that you talk about are similar to what we talk about in Amarai. Amarai is the gathering. She was of the Taranaki tribe. And she said, I'd love you to come and meet our Kohanga, which is like the shaman, and share with him some of the things that you're sharing with us. So through that, I spent time with the Maoris. When I was in Australia, I was teaching astral travel in Perth. And this old Aborigine man at the end of the event walked up. He had kangaroo skins on and a staff. And he said, someone told me that there was an American woman here talking about astral travel, and I wanted to hear what you had to say. And it turns out this elder was quite revered. When the Queen of England went to Australia, this is one of the very few Aboriginal elders that she met. And he said that what you say is very similar to the way that we perceive astral travel. And he said, you know, pretty much all Native Aborigines, not the ones necessarily born in the city, astral travel. And he said, I'd like to teach you some things. So that's how I spent time with the Aborigines. And I was teaching in Africa and invited. And again, it was just, it's like serendipity. Someone said, you know, we'd like you to meet the head of Sangoma Sanusi, is the, means like kind of the shaman head of all Zulu, a guy named Credo Mutwa. And so I went into up near Botswana and spent time with him. And so it was, in every event, it just kind of, I was so fortunate, fell into my lap. People say, well, how do I get to do those things? And I can't tell them, because it just kind of, each time it fell into my lap. But each time I began to see similarities in the energy that I was seeing in Native cultures. That's usual. You know, in our culture, it's unusual to see quote-unquote energy. But so, and a lot of other tribal traditions I spent time in, too.
Interesting. So I know that you view the world in terms of energy. Can you sort of set the stage for, you know, this energetic soup that we live in and how we're connected?
Well, you know, you do not need, I'm just going to take a step back. You do not need to see energy to have an understanding of it and be able to use that understanding to kind of dictate the direction of your life. Because I think you walk into, let's say you walk into a store and you feel something. It might feel good. It might feel bad. You walk into someone's house, your energy, you might feel uplifted. You might feel depleted or depressed. Everybody is sensing that. I mean, everyone has that ability.
Sure.
You might not see that there's like a dark energy on someone's couch. You know, maybe that's where great-grandpa killed himself. You know,
don't
know, but you sit on the couch and you start to feel like, I don't feel so good. I feel depressed. And then you scan your life and try to figure out what you're depressed about and what's not working. But then you get up from the couch and it's like, oh, feeling better. Sit on the couch. Oh, life is terrible. So what I did in the book is I tried to make it as, it can be simple. So I tried to make it as simple as it can be, because we all have the ability to sense energy. And and what most people do, though, is they don't respond to the energy. They'll think, you know, like you sit on the couch and you think, something in my life isn't working. So learning ways to discover what energy is and how you can use it to propel you forward in a splendid way.
Uh-huh.
So, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up there for a second.
I hope that made sense.
Oh, yeah. No, it absolutely does. And yet I'm also fascinated by your, what we call, I guess, second sight. So what is it you see in terms of the energy and these energy strands that you write about?
You know, I use the words energy strands and filaments and threads and ropes because it's a very potent visual image. But uh-huh. It's more fluid than that. Just like you've probably seen, Christine, you've seen these charts of chakras, right? And
uh-huh.
There's like the little red ball and the little orange ball and the little yellow ball. Chakras do not look like that. It's not a whole stack of different colored balls on top of each other. But
uh-huh.
That visualization is valuable because the chakras have it's more fluid. And you know, in terms of the color spectrum, red is on the electromagnetic field, and it's a much slower wavelength and much, and then it gets much finer as the colors, you know, go up towards the blue and the ultraviolet.
Uh-huh.
So it's the same thing. So I use these words to describe those flows of energy. But you're not necessarily, just like you don't see a red ball, you know, that's beneath an orange ball, that's beneath a yellow ball, when you're looking at someone's chakras, you don't necessarily see this like a tiny thin line or a big rope, but there's a vibe. I don't know if this is making sense. I should just say, yes, there are these cords of energy connecting us to the universe. I think
uh-huh.
that's probably more understandable.
Right now,
we need a visualization to be able to understand what these lines of energy are.
Yes. And I'm also fascinated by this concept of cords that bind. And I know that you talk a lot about that. We're going to need to go to a quick break. But when we return, I'm going to want you to chat about how people are connected through these cords or that fluid movement of energy. And when is it positive and when does it need to be dealt with? More with the wonderful
Perfect.
Denise Lynn here in just a few moments.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's Shalohah productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them,
Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Denise, I'm fascinated with this concept of this energetic connection between people, and I love the fact that you've got this analogy of cords and strands. So can you sort of share with our listeners what it looks like when it's positive and what are some of the negative kinds of connections between people?
Well, cords, you know, when we are in the womb, we are connected by the umbilical cord. So there is this kind of collective unconsciousness around this idea of being connected to others via cords. And there are some people that we are connected to so profoundly that we could be halfway around the world and they're in trouble. And we know it. We can feel it. And because there is a energy that will travel through a cord, even at great distances, that says, hey, I'm in trouble, or if they send us a loving energy or if they're thinking of us, all of a sudden, you know, we'll call them and they'll say, wow, that's strange. I was just thinking of you. That's right. Not an accident. That's because there are with the people that we love, there are these very strong cord connections. And those seeming psychic, you know, it's like, I was just thinking of you. Well, that actually is a thought that travels on the cord. But then there are negative cords. And these are the ones that sap us. If you hang out with someone and all of a sudden you feel like you can't breathe, you can't walk, chances are they have cord connections. I'm using those words because they're words that we can kind of see and visualize and understand. They're cord connected to you, but the energy is only going one way. It's going out of you into them. This is what some people call energy vampires. And sometimes there's someone that does that to everybody that's around them. Oh, my God. And they get all perky. They're all happy. And you walk away, you can't breathe. And there's sometimes it's just a particular dynamic between you and the other. So in the book, what I do is I talk about ways that we can clump up those positive ones and also diminish or completely delete those negative ones. And sometimes it can be someone, like I said, who's halfway around the world, who, if it's a negative cord connection, they start to think about us. We feel depleted. We can feel upset. And, you know, you want to be in your own energy field. You don't want to be negatively influenced by someone who has less than positive intent for you.
Right, right. And it seems like a sort of a complex balancing act between staying open to have those connections that are positive, but also learning to create boundaries with those where we've got this unhealthy kind of dynamic.
Yeah, before I wrote this book, I went through a lot of kind of personal questioning, because when I had the near-death experience, and I experienced this realm where I was one with everything. And this is very usual. People go through, you know, have near-death experiences. They have, you know, one with their light, and the only thing that existed was love.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed to me that was the reality, that in reality, we are one with all things, with all beings. And so writing a book in which I talk about protection of energy, it sounded at odds with what I'd experienced, that deeper reality. And I think when you are, you know, you've got a high vibe and life is good, you know, you don't need to protect yourself. And there's nobody out there but you anyway.
Right.
But I wrote the book for the times we forget, when we forget who we are. And in those times, it sometimes is valuable to shield your energy. You know, if you're going into a place where there's maybe it's a political rally and there's a lot of angry people, you yeah. might want to go into that shielding your energy so you can be effective, your voice can be heard, but you don't absorb all that angry energy around you. So, and there are very time-honored ways to do that. So that's kind of, I went through a process, but I ended up thinking, no, it's valuable to learn some of these techniques. A lot of them I learned in native culture.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that if we are truly connected as one, then if we can serve ourselves for being in that highest or most expansive frequency of love, then it will actually serve the whole better, as opposed to yeah. just like, you know, letting down our boundaries.
Yeah, and it's really good to have those boundaries. It's good to be in that place of love. I almost never shield myself, but uh-huh. I don't judge myself when I do it.
Right.
So it's because it's just being smart, and it's knowing when you need to protect yourself and when you need to be open and when you need uh-huh. to be expansive and know that if someone comes into your life who's, you know, like negative, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe there's something inside of yourself that you need to look at, or a shadow aspect. So there's that part of it. But also sometimes we just need a break. You know, you uh-huh. go to the office and there's the person in this cubicle next to you is always negative, always complaining. You know, it's just good to kind of shield yourself. So you could be there, you could be present with that person, you don't have to judge them, uh-huh. but you don't leave going home exhausted every day.
So do we always need to sort of set these kind of psychic or energetic boundaries, or can we just, like, step away from it sometime?
You know, I think the best thing to do if you're in a negative situation is just step away. You know, then you don't have to do all the shielding and protecting yourself. But mm-hmm. like that example where the person in the cubicle next to you at work, you need the job. You know, you got to feed your kids.
Right. Yep.
And that's where you're sitting. In those cases, you can't just step away necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, but you have to find another job. And, you know,
right.
and so feeling that compassion, because I think ultimately nobody wants to be a quote-unquote energy vampire. No one
sure.
wants to deplete in their heart of hearts. No one wants to deplete others. No one wants to be a negative influence. But almost all bad behavior comes from fear or ignorance. Mm-hmm. So if someone's acting badly, either they're afraid or they just don't know any better. So that helps develop compassion. But at the same time, if you keep your energy field strong, you're going to be more of a positive impact on the world, as it were.
Okay, so let's say that we understand our exhaustion when we're around a person, that we're being depleted by this energy vampire. What can we do to protect ourselves?
Okay. And just on a personal note, I don't actually like the word energy vampire. I did end up using it in the book because uh-huh. the publishers were saying this is what people understand. Because
right.
it seems so judgmental, and that which we judge, you know, we tend to cleave to ourselves. But so you're with someone and you're going, oh, my God, my energy's tanking. Just a really quick easy is just, I'll give you a couple quick easies. One is the violet flame, and this works magic. You just visualize a violet flame, and it is encompassing your entire body, and it's sparkling and shimmering. It's not hot. It doesn't burn you. And mm-hmm. people say, well, it's just a visualization. I'll give you an example of the power of visualization and how it works. When my daughter was young, a visitor came over, and the energy between me and this person was not good, and I could feel my energy just draining, and it just didn't feel good. So uh-huh. I visualized a huge rose between me and the visitor.
Uh-huh.
And my intent was my communication goes through the rose, her communication comes through the rose. So we can hear each other and to kind of protect my energy. My daughter, who I'd never told about that at all, and she was maybe 3 at the time, she
uh-huh.
walks in and she points at the space between the two of us. And she says, Mommy, look at the rose. There's a rose there. So she
saw
the rose. So people, it's not just visual. There is power. If people knew the power of their visualization.
Uh-huh.
So if you're standing talking to someone and you've got this violet flame, and then the color spectrum, violet is the higher, faster frequency,
mm-hmm.
it is almost impossible for them to kind of start sucking energy out of you, because you've got this flame that's like searing up and around you. So that is excellent. The other thing you can do is do what I did with this person. Visualize a huge rose. And the rose has been used in ancient tradition throughout the world as a symbol of protection, a symbol of love. So just visualize a huge rose between you and the other. Even imagine that you can smell the rose, because the scent of the rose actually is very protective as well. Then there's the old methods of just white light. And you can almost zipper that white light. Now, if you do the white light, I'm going to suggest that you visualize, imagine that there is a very thick surface to it. And I'd say about a 3-inch surface to this white light. And it's a semi-permeable membrane. So anything that is less than positive, less than empowering, bounces off. But anything loving, kind, can just filter right through. Your energy can go out of it. But it really stops short. And you can try this, you know, standing in line at the grocery store. And if there's someone who's, you know, maybe they're just having a bad day. Doesn't mean they're a bad person, but you can feel like, oh, my God, then try this. Just instantly put that white light, but with that very thick, semi-permeable shield around it. You can also activate this in a meditation. And if you do, it actually makes it more powerful when you use it spontaneously. So in a meditation, visualize over and over again this powerful shield with this powerful surface to it. You can even embed in that surface, you can embed symbols that are powerful for you. For some people, it might be the cross if they're Christian, you know, or they can put those symbols in. You're inside of this in the visualization, and that way when you get in line at the grocery store and you spontaneously activate it, it's that much stronger. So those are just a few protection techniques.
Okay, so you're saying it can be stronger like when you're doing it spontaneously. Is that because you prepared for it, or is it because...
you prepared for it. And actually, you have, on the inner realms, you've actually created it. So, and it's just like, you know, when people ohm, you know, O-M, they ohm together. There is a collective unconscious frequency energy for the word ohm, because so many millions of people over hundreds of years have used that word. So all you have to do is say it once, and you tap into that collective unconsciousness. So it's a similar situation when you've already activated your shield. Incidentally, especially when you're traveling, really good idea to activate that shield. I teach dream work, and it's really interesting to me that people who are in the same physical location will have the same dreams on the same night or similar dreams. And even if there's a wall between them, they'll have the same dreams on the same night. So if you are in a hotel and your head is against a wall, and there's someone on the other side of the wall, their head is against the wall, it's really easy for there to be kind of a merging and melding of energies because you're in close proximity. So if you activate that dream shield, a dream shield, then you're going to stay in your own energy during the night, because we're more vulnerable potentially at night, because we're more open. Our conscious mind is kind of shut down. So that's a way to activate it and strengthen it. Also, a really good way to use it.
Interesting.
Also, if you're in the hotel, you might want to order room service. Get that little bit of salt or bring salt with you and just kind of sprinkle a tiny little circle around your bed. Great idea. That will also help you stay in your own energy field. Nobody can see it, but it will make a difference. Salt is probably the thing that is used the most around the world of anything else for protection, shielding, and clearing of energy.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I know that the last time I was in a hotel was, I guess it was week before last, and when I walked into the bedroom area, it was like one of these suites, and I walked into the bedroom area, it was like this really negative energy, and I kept walking in and feeling worse. Finally, I said to myself, I've got to clear this before I actually come in here to sleep, because I could feel the energy of the previous guest or something.
You can even feel the energy of the cleaners. You know, if they're having a bad day, you can walk in and it's like, oh my gosh! But every once in a while, I'll walk in and it's like, oh, this was a gift from the gods. Yeah. You can feel their energy. So. A really cool thing to do if you're traveling is to bring
hold that thought. I've just realized we're running way over for the break, but I want to hear about that travel tip when we return here in just a few moments. Da-da, 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 da-da.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com. Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern, and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to the wonderful Denise Lynn, and she's the author of, I think, 18 books now in 29 languages. And her most recent book is a fascinating one. It's called Energy Strands, The Ultimate Guide to Clearing the Cords That Are Constricting Your Life. You know, Denise, I really appreciate how clear you are in this book about the different types of connections, the different types of issues we can have, and the various techniques, as well as the many examples about how your techniques can help shift a person's situation. What are some of the other types of connections between people?
Well, there are so many different ways that we are cord connected to the universe around us. One of the ways is what I call collateral strands. And collateral strands are really interesting. And I'll give you an example. This was years ago before I was married. I had been living in Michigan, but I traveled to Hawaii. I was going to visit my sister there. And before I left, a friend folded up a piece of paper. She said, Denise, here's the name and number of a friend of mine who lives in Hawaii. I think it'd be great if you guys got together. I'm sure you have a lot in common. So I thanked her, and I stuffed the folded paper into the bottom of my purse. And I don't know if your purse is like my purse, but sometimes stuff goes in there, and I don't see it for a long period of time.
Yep, it is.
A long period of time. So I loved Hawaii. I was like, oh, my God, this is totally Mount Michigan. And I got there in the wintertime. I got a job working at a kind of a bar restaurant down in Waikiki. And the bartender was a nice guy. And, you know, as we started chatting, eventually we started dating. And one day I actually cleaned my purse. And at the very bottom of my purse, I opened up a piece of paper. And it was his name and his number.
Now,
some people would say this was an amazing synchronicity, and it is an amazing synchronicity, but from an understanding of cord, it's not, because this friend and I were cord connected. Her friend was cord connected to her. So there was, I don't know if this makes sense, but we both shared a similar frequency, and we were cord connected to the same person. So it makes sense that we would meet each other. I'll give you another quick example of that kind of cord connection is my husband and I, after I was married, were driving to a wedding. We lived up in Washington. We were driving down to California, going through Oregon, lost, really lost. He doesn't like to stop for instructions. I like to ask instructions, especially when we're lost.
Right.
And in Oregon, and we were just switching off on driving, and I'd want to stop. No, don't stop. I can figure this out. Like, obviously not. We're lost. And so in the middle of this country road, and I said, I don't care. And I'm yelling because, you know, I don't like anyone. So I just thought, I'm going to go to this house. And it's down this long, long driveway, and there's a tiny house there. Not a tiny house, but it was, the house looked tiny because it was far away. I thought, I'm going to go ask there. He goes, no, no. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. So we're yelling at each other. I drive down this driveway, hit the brakes, the dust is flying. I go up on the porch, I'm pounding on the door because I'm mad at my husband, and the door opens, and it is my stepsister, who I have lost touch with. I had no idea where she was, even in the country.
Wow.
And it was great. I met her husband, I met her kids, we all went out to dinner, and so this is, and people would say, well, that's a huge coincidence. Yes, it's a huge coincidence, but it makes complete sense, because there was a cord connection. Sometimes these cords will lay kind of flaccid on the ground, but if you are in close proximity, they plump up, and I think that's what happened. So anyway, that's another example. And there are these strands. I call them soul strands, and they are so divine. There are people on the planet that we are connected to soul, and you will find yourself. Here's another example that when I was living in Hawaii, and before I was married, I didn't have much money. But papayas were everywhere. They're falling in the alleyways. They're laying on the ground. So I was pretty much living on papayas because they were free.
Right.
A woman in Finland, at that time, she was pregnant. She went in for some blood work, and the doctor said, there's something unusual in your blood. She said, what is it? He goes, well, your papain levels are really high. Are you eating a lot of papaya? She goes, no. He said, well, obviously you're taking papain pills, which is the enzyme of papaya. And she said, no. And they tested her again, and her papain levels were off the chart.
Well,
this woman, we met in London, and we looked completely different. I have dark hair, dark skin. She's light hair, light skin. But when we go anywhere, people think we're sisters. We look completely different. I'm big. She's skinny. But because there is a soul connection. And so I'm eating the papayas. It's like there's some people on the planet that can be your split apart. They're like so deeply connected to your soul. We will buy the same CDs on the same day. Both of our daughters cook at our seminars. We've co-written books with our daughters.
Oh, my gosh.
Feng Shui within weeks when I started Feng Shui. We didn't know that we'd done this. She started something called soul coaching. I started something called soul coaching.
Wow.
And every time we talk maybe three times a year, whenever we talk, we find that we have bought the same things, done the same things exactly. We both have to have lilacs on our birthdays. Who has to have lilacs on their birthday? Those strands are sweet. They're precious. Sometimes that person is on the other side. They're not alive, in which case you've got this soul connection. But those are sweet energies and to be cherished. So those are just some of the kind of soul, strand connections there are.
Wow. And so your eating papayas affected her
blood. Her physiology.
Yeah, that's weird. Isn't that weird? I mean, how do you explain that? She goes, and until we started to go through some of the synchronicities in our life, and she's talking about, you know, she was saying, this is the strangest thing, Denise. And she was telling me all about, you know, when she was pregnant and the high papilla. And so I worked it up. I said, guess what? At that time in my life, I was living on papayas.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, those things that we think are just coincidences, most often they are not. Most often they are the result of cord connections to others.
Right. And it's interesting because I remember years ago I was at the ICM conference and there was an acupuncturist who was talking about how sometimes if a certain person in a family needed treatment, was not willing to come in for acupuncture, if she treated another family member in the way that she would be treating that person, that other person who never came in would get cleared of the issue. So it was almost like because of that connection, I guess it's those energy strands, so to speak, that, you know, one clearing affected the other family member.
Yes, and that is very common in Native cultures I've been in that I've spent time in. That idea, because of the cord connection, if you cannot treat that one person, you can treat another family member, and they actually can get the benefit of it. Isn't that cool?
It's amazing. I just love this. We're going to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more about these energy strands, including some of the ones that are less positive and what to do about it. Stay tuned.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back. You know, Denise, before we go any further with this wonderful conversation, I want to make sure that our listeners know how they can connect with you and what events you've got coming up.
Oh, wow. I've got a website, I guess like everybody does. It's DeniseLinn.com. And I am going to be in Chicago for the Celebrate Your Life Conference, which is, if you've never been to one, they are great.
Oh, and they're fabulous.
Those people have such heart who run them. Anyway, that's June 9th and 10th. And then my daughter and I are teaching in Sacramento in July. I'm teaching, and they're small courses, and they're really inexpensive for those kind of courses, so they're great. And one is Activating the Writer Within for people who want to become a writer or at least crafting your own life. And then the other one is Keeping Your Vibration High Amidst This Fast-Paced World. And those are also listed on my website. So, and beautiful Sacramento. So I'm really looking forward to those.
Oh, that sounds great. And the Celebrate Your Life events are fabulous. They're probably like the best group speaker events I've ever been to.
They are. And I think the people who run it, because they understand energy and they understand how to create a energy that just you walk in and you feel good even before you heard any of the speakers. And I
absolutely
want to be a part of it. Glad you think that too, because I just feel like, oh my God, I love working with these people.
Okay, so one of the questions I have for you is sometimes I think people, particularly sensitive, get confused because they'll feel something negative.
Yeah.
And they don't, they're used to sort of looking within, like, you know, why is this coming up for me? How do you tell if something is sort of naturally organic from within or whether you're picking it up from another person?
Well, ultimately, it's all us. Ultimately, the only thing that can stick is if there's some kind of energy match inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
Given that, sometimes it's hard. Here's a really good way, though. If you are feeling like, oh, my God, negative news, is this me? Have I picked this up from someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And you take a hot Epsom salt bath, and you put in a good amount. I'd put in at least 1 to 2 pounds of Epsom salt. Or alternatively, I use Himalayan salt, but half and half baking soda and Himalayan salt or and sea salt. And you soak in it for 15 minutes, and then you take a cold shower, like really cold. Or if you don't have a bathtub, take a hot, cold, hot, and cold, and then rub, take salt, kind of scrub yourself with it. That will shift your energy. And then what you feel after that, if you're still feeling bad, it's probably yours. If you don't feel bad anymore, like, whoa, feeling good, it probably was somebody else's. And if you have been in a crowd, and you come home and you feel kind of, sometimes you feel dingy. You've probably picked up a bunch of energy from people, and that's another time to do that hot, cold, back and forth, hot, cold shower, or take that Epsom salt bath. If you have no bath, no shower, and you're like, oh, my God, I think I absorbed something. I was in a crowd. But just you go into the – there's got to be a bathroom somewhere. You go into the bathroom, and you hit your heels really hard, like stomping, like hit – the very back part of your heels, and just stomp a few times. And that will shift your energy. You know, in Native cultures, when they go to war, they drum and they hit their heels. That activates their own personal energy. So when you do that, it begins, that other stuff that's not yours begins to drop off. Mm-hmm. Another thing to be aware of that I wanted to mention is about predecessor energy and residual energy. When you buy something, especially an antique, clear it. If you are sensitive to energy and you buy something antique or from a Goodwill, it can carry the energy of the person who owned it before. It's called predecessor energy. So if you have something, so just clear it. How do you clear it? You put it out in the sunshine for 5 hours. You let the rain go over it. You can run cold water over it with the intent it's clear. Eucalyptus oil is great. You can stage it, but do clear it. do not bring that into your house. And in fact, anything new, even if it's new, you don't know what the fans from, you know, workers in China, maybe they were completely miserable, bad working conditions, and that energy can go into that object. You bring it into your house, and all of a sudden you're feeling kind of down, and you don't know why. Chances are there's a good chance that you might have absorbed or felt that energy that's in that object.
Right, right. Yeah, there have been times when I haven't bought certain things because I could feel the energy of the people who made it or the environment that got, you know, damaged because of getting the natural resources. So that energy is there. And that crystals too, I've been taught to rinse them off right away to clear the energy of those as well.
Really important, because crystals are magnifiers. So if they have had less than pleasant a journey to get to you, they're going to be magnifying that. If you, you know, cleanse them and put loving energy, they're going to magnify that. So you want to make sure they're clear. Especially stone. A great way to clear stones is with essential oils. You can just rub in one direction. Yeah, so you can you don't want to do that with something like selenite that's very porous.
Right.
With most stones, like the eucalyptus oil, and you rub it in one direction, and that's a great way to cleanse them.
Interesting. You talk about creating these energetic boundaries, and yet we're all one. So are we being fear-based if we're setting up these boundaries and pulling out cords or cutting cords?
Well, if you find yourself every day protecting yourself and every day pulling out cords, usually someone who does that is someone who has probably, they don't have much personal power. So if you find yourself needing to do it all the time, as a suggestion, work on stepping into your personal power. Personal power means that you take the time to find your truth, speak your truth, and be your truth. And someone who doesn't, who is afraid to speak their mind, it's afraid to follow their soul yearning, usually that's the person who is having to protect themselves a lot, because there's a lot of, it is fear-based. So it's a pretty good indication if every day, like, okay, I got to protect myself. As you step more and more into your personal power, less and less will you need to protect yourself, less and less will you need to decord. And and I love sharing ways that someone can decord. You can actually see those cords. You can actually imagine that you have your hand around the cord and pull it out. And then you take it and just put it right down on the earth. And people say, it looks like it's invisible. No, it's not. Those are real cords. You can feel them when they leave. It's like, I feel like I can breathe now.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah. And I know that, I was reading about your various techniques, which was very informative to me because, I'd heard about the cord cutting, and I remember trying that with a certain situation, a certain person years ago, and I felt like it was still there. So finally, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to pull it out, like, you know, by the roots. And that seemed to make me feel much greater ease. And then I read about it, you know, you've got a particular technique and you go into more detail about it. So I find that to be very helpful. And sometimes I think we do need to set those boundaries and clear those cords. And this is just absolutely fascinating. So
go ahead. Sorry.
We've got about a minute left. Do you want to leave our listeners with just a final message?
Well, I was just going to tell you, mentioned that cord. So sometimes the cord cutting doesn't seem to be as effective as actually the cord pulling. And what that is, you go into a meditation, you just kind of scan your body, and you can actually, in that meditative state, get a sense of, oh, my God, there is a cord going into my solar plexus, for example. Uh-huh. You can follow the cord, see who's going to. Sometimes it's a surprise. Oh, my gosh, I thought we were fine, but isn't that interesting? Uh-huh. And then you actually physically take your hand and imagine that just like you're pulling out weed, you pull it, but then after you pull it, you take it down and touch it to the earth as if you were rooting it into the earth. That works really well.
Cool. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I want to mention the title of your book again, Energy Strands, DeniseLinn.com. Denise, thank you so much for joining us here today. I always love talking with you.
I am so honored that you had me. Thank you so much, and I wish you and your listeners a wonderful day.
And thank you for joining us today. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. Talkradio.com.